Gemara says in Masechet Yuma that it's prohibited to count Bnei Yisrael by the people. Whoever does this is in violation of two lavim. And instead of quoting the pasuk from this week's Seder, the Gemara quotes from the Navi, "V'hoya mitzvah Bnei Yisrael k'chol hayom asher lo yisafer asher lo yimad v'lo yisafer." So all of the Mepharshim discuss, why does the Gemara have to quote the pasuk from the Navi? What's wrong with the pasuk from the Chumash? Apparently, pasuk on the Chumash is not to be taken with Beirut, it's only Hayashua or something. So the only issue is Medivya Kabbalah, based on the Sukkim and Nehru. But still it is, there is a din that one is not permitted to take a census to the Jewish population. Unless it's the Tzorech, that's how many Rishon say, unless it's the Tzorech, number one. And number two, if you count by giving something, either by giving Masa Shekel or anybody gives by Yifkidein, the Kloim, the pasuk says in Sefer Shmuel that everybody gives a behemoth, or everybody gives a pebble, or you write down a list of names. So many Rishonim say if you don't count the people, you count the names that are written down on a piece of paper, that's muta. But that's also, that's the only the Sorech, and I did over Ach. Yeah, that's how many Rishonim say, and that's how it says the seven Midrashim. You have to have both. There it's true. Now every couple of years they take a census. They're obviously it's with Torah. They have to know how much food they have to have, how large the population is, and how many doctors they need, and so on and so forth. So the Torah certainly is. And it's Aydei Davaracher. That's the is that called Aydei Davaracher? You write down a list of names. Is that called Aydei Davaracher? If everybody gives a pebble, everybody gives a dollar, it's one thing. But if they all write down how many people there are in their family, I write down husband, wife, nine children. So they're counting nine. So they're counting the people. You're not counting the Dover Acha. That's called the Dover Acha because you're counting from a piece of paper. And what if you write down the names of the children? So you're counting names. But the names mean the people. Is that also Mutter? Some Rishonim say that that's Mutter. There are long discussions about this in the contemporary literature, the last 40 years. There's literature about that. All of a sudden, a lot of literature about this issue of Mitzvah, that Minyan Bnei Yisrael. The pasuk isn't really speaking about the din of Matan Shekel, but the Chachamim saw as a remez, Rashi points out that it says three times Shuma. As a remez, the mitzvah Matan Shekel of Doris is alluded to. The mitzvah Matan Shekel, of course, is for the purpose of purchasing all of the Kavanas people. The Mishnah Shkolim has a machloikis satanayim where the Kohanim have to give Matan Shekel. So one Tana was of the opinion. The Mishnah says, "Hakohanim darshin mikros eliyatim." The Kohanim darshin the pasuk on their own in their own favor that they don't have to give Matan Shekel, because it says in Parshas in Shemesh VaYikra, in Parshas VaYikra, it says when a kohen brings a korban mincha, you don't do kmitza and burn the komets and then eat the shirayim. A mincha's kohen is kavod tavtar. You burn the whole thing on the mizbeach. So you don't do it. The only time you do kmitza is if you're going to burn the komets and eat the shirayim. But if the whole thing is going to be burned, then you don't do any kmitza. And the Torah says that there are korbanos tzibur which require, there are korbanos mincha that the tzibur pays for with the matzah shekel money, which you do mitzah on, and you burn the kohanim and shirai manechol. So if the kohanim, and what's the din if a kohen brings a korban mishutzis with somebody else? It's never possible. A mincha is not bo mishutzis. Do you ever have a korban mincha that's bo mishutzis? The Gemara says, yeah, if the father is mafish a mincha, and then he dies. And the mincha goes to Yerusha to the two children. So the Gemara says, then it's Torah the Shutzah. So the Gemara says, but it's in violation of the din, and a mincha cannot be bought the Shutzah. So the Gemara says, it's not exactly in violation, because it's not a full kapara. When the Yerushim get a kapara, when the korban is Torah on their behalf, that the father was mafish and they got the Yerusha, so they only get a kapara, mikufya ulo mikivo. The Gemara says, mikufya means a superficial kapara. The word kufya, Rashi always says in the word kufya means Yosef ha-parizel and the Tagimina, the kof of parizelah, the float. And the fellow looks his hatchet in the river, the Elisha Anavi accomplished that it floated to the top. So the pasuk says by Yosef ha-parizel that the hatchet floated to the top of the river, so the Targum on that pasuk says the kof of parizelah, kof means the float. So the Gemara uses such an expression, a kapara mikufyo, as opposed to a kapara mikivo. It's not a real in-depth kapara, it's only a superficial kapara. So the Gemara says, when do we have a principle that a mincha is not bor b'shutzis? That's if two people want to bring a korban mincha together, they both want to get a full kapara. A full kapara means they both want to be full bali akorban. But here, where the father was mavish the mincha and he died, and it's the korban hashutzim that's korban getter and yorshim, all yorshim together, so that's only a superficial kapar. So what would be the din, let's say, in such a case? If you have a korban mincha bo b'shutzim, such a hechetimtzim, and one of the shutzim is a kohen, and the other shutzim are not kohanim. For example, the father had two sons, one of them was a kohen, father was a kohen, doesn't necessarily follow that all of the sons are going to be kohanim. The children that he has from Nishik Sheva will be Kohanim. The children that he has from Gusha Zayin of a Chalolo will be Chalolo. Chalolo means that he's not a Kohen. So if the, let's say the father was Mavik Shem Mincha, the father died. Now this Mincha is Korib, the Shutzus, on behalf of the Kohanim and the non-Kohanim together. So would it have Kimitza or not? So the Pashtus is that no. So whenever you have a Mincha's Kohen, even if the Kohen is only one Shutzus, you're not permitted to eat the Shirai. It has to be Kohanim Kofka. So that's what the Kohanim HaYadoshim Mikvaz Eli Atzmon. How can we be obligated to give Matzah Shefer money if the Matzah Shefer money is used for the purpose of purchasing all the Korbanos Tzibur during the course of the year, including the Korban HaOmer, which is the Minchas HaTzibur. In Minchas HaTzibur, the Korban HaOmer, you do Knitzar, and only the payments of Korin and the Shirayim HaNacholim to the Zichrei Kuzunim, the Yorin Dalailo Ad Chatzot. So how can the Kohanim eat the Shiyorei HaMincha of the Korban HaOmer? It's a Minchas Kohanim. So it's a right that Kohanim don't have to give any money for the Matzah Shefer. And then the Mishnah says that we don't pass them like that. That not only are they not prohibited, the Kohanim said they're prohibited to give Matzah Shefer. So and they said, Kol Kohen HaShekel Choytek. Any Kohen who donates Matzah Shekel is sinning, because he's not allowed to make the Korbanos HaTzibur into a Shutzis with the Kohanim. And the Mishnah quotes Rabbi Yechon Chazakai says just the reverse. Kol Kohen She'en HaShekel HaReza Choytek. Kohen who doesn't participate in Matzah Shekel is a sinner. That everybody, Zayit and Kol Oiv Afkurim, everybody has to give, including the Kohanim and the Levim. There was another sheet in the Tanoim that Kohanim and Levim don't give. It's based on a different marker. It's not based on the Minchas Kohen Kol Toktor, because by Levim there is no such thing. It's based on a different marker. The Gemara Menachos has it. But the Mishnah says we don't pass like either of these sheets. Not like the Tana who holds that the Levim, Shevet Levi, is exempt, and not like the Tanoim who said that Kohanim are exempt. We pass and they all have to give. The Shaila Kaka, why? What about this argument that how are the Shiorei HaMincha of the Korban HaOmer and Echal? Why is the Mincha Kohen? The Kohen has a Shutzis. So the Velt says that the answer is that it's not, the Tzibur is not the same as a Shutzim. When you have a Tzibur, it's not that it's a Shutzis between me and you and the other guy and the other guy, and you have 10 million Jews, we're all Shutzim together. Tzibur is a different Chalashem than the Yatzma. The Tzibur is not a Kohen, and it's not a Levi, and it's not Yisrael. It's a different thing. It's Klal Yisrael. It's a different halashem. The whole idea that minchas kohen only applies if the mincha is korb on behalf of a private individual person, or on behalf, in this unusual case, on behalf of shutzim. The rare case that you have a mincha of shutzim, the Gemara says normally you don't have, but I say yerusha. The yerusha ma'makrish, the korban mincha that the father was ma'makrish, that's the unusual case that the Gemara has. So then it's a korban that's korb on behalf of individual people. A mincha korb on behalf of an individual person or on a group, on behalf of a group of people, that can be called a minchas kohen. Korbanos that are called korev on behalf of Klal Yisrael, that's different. That's not a, that's not called a shutzis kohen. With respect to the din of counting, of taking the census, that was mederes mishon of amolo. With respect to the mitzvah of machzah shekel adoros, we mentioned that's a machzah tar rishonim. Adlam Shat in the Mishnah Shkolim. It says that Ketanim don't have to give Matzah Shekel, but if they give, we accept it. A goy is not obligated to give Matzah Shekel, and if he gives, we don't accept it. A woman, Kohanim Levim, if you hold that they're exempt, but if they donate it, then you do accept it. And women are exempt, and if they donate it, they do accept it. Why? Because of course of the Rakhbar of Kohanim. So if a Nochri donates, you can't accept it even to the Eved, because it's not Bob and Eved and Adov, the Mishnah says. What are you going to say, that it's going to blend in to become all Matzah Shekel of Klal Yisrael? It's going to be Karbonos on behalf of Klal Yisrael, but he's a Nachri. How can he participate in the Karbonos of Tzibur? And you can't give private donations outside money. Matzah Shekel is only Matzah Shekel. The Karbonos even have to be purchased up with Matzah Shekel. If an Isha wants to give, even though she's not Mefuyas, or a Kotzen wants to give, or a Kohanim and Levim, according to those who hold the Dol Shevet Levi is Pasuk, but Sof Kol Sof, they are part of Klal Yisrael. It's like a Phoenician wants to sit in Sukkot, so she gets a Kima Mitzvah, the Torah Zayin and the Torah Zayin. It's the same over here. So when Moshe Le Tzibur, Yafa Yafa, the Gemara says, then we'll accept. It says in the Nesivita, the whole literature on the cotton. How can the Mishnah say that if a cotton donates Machta Shekel, we accept it? How is it Chal? How is the Machta Shekel Chal? How can a cotton be Machta? Machta Shekel. A cotton is a Chalaba Hatnor. So the story says the answer is because of the Rabbana. Cotton Shehigir, Loinus Aput, is Mikcha Mekach Memkera Memkara Vimitalfa Limit the Rabbana. So it says that you see that King in the Rabbana is Moyo. Even for dinim deraisa, even though this is a chadim deraisa, that you can't take some outside money. It can only be the money that's given for the purpose of matzah shekel. But with the koyach of hefker bezn hefker, so we declare that the haknoah of the katan is chal. That's what it's placed on. And the nesivus disagrees. The famous nesivus where he says that hefker bezn hefker only works min hatorah to be machker, doesn't work to be machna lacherim. The koyach to be machna lacherim is true, but that's only with the rabbana. It doesn't work on a Thursday. How does it work over here by the Machta Shekel? So the Nesivus has a very difficult comment. He says that when the Ketanim put their Machta Shekel in the shofaros, in the boxes, these special kushkis that they had in the Beis HaMikdash for the people to put the Taklan Chatatin in, the different boxes for Taklan Chatatin and for Taklan Atikin, Taklan Ishkolim. And Taklan Chatatin is Ishkolim Chadoshim, Mishanar Zu. Chodesh Ador, from Chodesh Ador till Chodesh Nisan, everybody's supposed to give Machta Shekel money. That's for this coming year, for Nisan Tav Shin Nun through Nisan Tav Shin Nun Aleph. So that money you put in the box, that's Taklan Chadatin. What if a guy reminds himself that he didn't give Machta Shekel last year? He reminds himself now. Or a guy becomes a Baal Shuvah and then he realizes that for a long time he hasn't been giving any Machta Shekel. It's only Bizman Shein Beis HaMikdash Kaim, of course. Bizman Shein Beis HaMikdash Kaim. No one gives any Machta Shekel. Let's say the guy realizes Beis HaMikdash is Kaim and then he becomes a Baal Shuvah and he realizes he has never given any Machta Shekel. So the din is that he has to give Machta Shekel for all the years that he missed, and he has to put it in a different box from Taklan Atikin. What do they do with the Taklan Atikin? So the Mishnayim say, the old Taklan Atikin means the old scholar from previous years. And the Mishnayim tell you exactly what do you do with that money. It's like leftover money that doesn't stand a chance at all of ever being used for Machta Shekel for the purpose of purchasing Kabbalah Tziva from. You're never going to do any Trumas Alishka on that either. You're not going to be Machish anything. So the Nesivus claims when the cotton donates the Machta Shekel and he puts it in the box, so the Hegdish is kind of with the king of cotton. Because you put the money in the box of the Hegdish, not that the cotton has a power to be Magdish, has a power to be Machna with Hefke Bez and Hefke. That power to be Machna is only the Rabbanon, the Haknas Lachem. But he says the Hegdish is kind of with the king of cotton. Very difficult, Tosfos says in Bava Basra on Daf Ayin Tes, that Hegdish doesn't have the power to be kind of with the king of cotton. Ramban disagrees with Tosfos. The Tosfos sheet is that Hegdish never has a king of cotton. That's why in Magen Avraham and Hilchos Beis HaKnesses quotes from the Aguda. The Aguda was the Talmud of the Rosh. The Aguda on Bava Basra, on that daf, the middle of Amrechas HaSfina, where he says that just like Hegdish is not kind of with a king of cotton, so too Beis HaKnesses is deemed to Hegdish is also not kind of with a king of cotton. So you find money laying around on the floor in the shul, so you don't have to give it to the shul. The shul is not kind of with a king of cotton, so you can keep it for yourself. On the assumption that the Bala Aveda, the one who lost it, was Messiah already. He wasn't Messiah getting it back in. But on the assumption that Roda Masa the Mashim Shpikisa B'chol Shor V'Shor, when you find money, you have the right to assume that if the guy was already Messiah, or Slach HaYush, so there's no need to give it to the Shul. The Shul wouldn't be koine with the King of Chosra. Anyway, you can keep it for yourself. And Rabbi Kivega there, on Orach Haim, quotes the Ramban, who disagrees. So this Ramban, the Sivas, they're both very strange. Both very difficult. What do you mean? The cotton donates Machta Shekel and we accept it because Hefke doesn't have to some of the Rabbana the Haknoah is coming because of the King of Chotzer. How can that be? That's like a Goy who's donating. So if a Goy gives Machta Shekel also say the Hefke is coming to the King of Chotzer. The answer is it doesn't help. It's not Bob and Edwin and it doesn't. So what good is it that you're going to say that Hefke is coming with the King of Chotzer? That's not That's loy order from a neder and a dover. That's not order from a private donation. The only time you can give Machta Shekel is Noshim and Kohanim or Levim, according to those who hold that Yipater. The people who have a Kedushas Yisrael, but they're not mechuyev to give Machta Shekel. But if they'll give, they'll be most of the people Yofi Yofi, and the Torah Seinim and Tzuli Yosef, that they're fulfilling the mitzvah of Machta Shekel. But he's going to say that a cotton Machta Shekel is really not Chal Mikra Din Deraisa. Because the cotton is a lot by that. The only reason why Hegdish can keep it is because Hefke Bezna Hefke with the Rabbana, because of the king and Chotzer. That's like a Zaitzig Kinyan. How can they take money that they got with an outside Kinyan and use it towards the purpose of purchasing Karbanasi? But they're both very difficult. So this is, they're both very strict. The Pashtus, you have to say, either like some say that Kotten in the Mishnah means younger than 20. That's machlokes, whether the Zohar is a Kotten, Kotten, Masna Shekel, Kotten means before the age of 20 or before the age of 13. So if you say before the age of 20, Stam is not kasha. The Kotten after the age of 13, that's how the Basimur says. After the age of 20, Yechai Masna Shekel, before the age of 20, not Chai. And Tosis Yantav disagrees, and the Rov HaRishonim hold against the Tosis, against the Basimur. Rov HaRishonim hold, like the Girsa that we have in Yishami, that from the age of 13 on, the Mechuyev to give Masna Shekel. Like all the Mitzvah Satir, that this Pasuk at the age of 20 has nothing to do with the Din of Masna Shekel there. If you don't like the Bar Tanura, that between the age of 13 and 20 you're not obligated to give Masna Shekel, but the guy is a Bagad, so then he can, then of course he can give the Masna Shekel, but there are saying the years. But even if you don't like the Rav HaRishonim, that Kotner's Pasuk means before the age of 13, still, before the age of 13 is not a badat to Mecca Chamemka to give me Kedushin, but he is a badat for a Yoni Haflo, if he's a Mufla son of a Yish. The last year before Bar Mitzvah, if he knows L'Sheni, you know the L'Sheni Yiddish, then the Havdasha is Chav. So the Pashto says, maybe you should say that that's what the Mishnah is referring to. A Kotten Sheshokal, a Kotten who gives Masna Shekel, we accept it. It means that the Kotten is within the last year before Bar Mitzvah, and a Das Havdasha he can have. So then we'll accept it, because the Torah said him to the Yaisa, he's fulfilling the Mitzvah of Masna Shekel. He's the time to do the Masna Shekel, not some Zayti Gittin. After the Torah is Masna Shekel, the Torah is Havdasha. Of course, that's only acceptable if you hold that Mufla Samach Liyish is a Din Deraita. So that's a Machloikis in the Gemara and Nida, Machloikis the Rambam and the Rambam, Machloikis Amoraim, the Nida, and Teret Bosim, and it's a Machloikis the Rambam and the Rai, but had a pastor, the Din Mufla Samach Liyish is a Deraita. You hold that it's only the Rabbanan's Vaitashvah. How can it be that the Mufla Samach Liyish can be Magdash? I'd like to take Poshid, of course, Mr. Shachal means that the father's giving. A Magdash Amanashi is covered by Chaveira. The father's giving, or someone else, a brother, an uncle is giving, a rich uncle is giving Master Shekel on behalf of someone else. The Mishnah says in the Dorim that there is such a thing, Shokel or Shikla, the Mishnah Vam Hehebe. Someone else could give Master Shekel on my behalf. Just like somebody can imagine the Shikov and Amanashi is covered by Chaveira. So if somebody can donate Master Shekel, that I should be the Baal HaHadoshe. For kapara purposes, maybe that's what the Mishnah means to say, that a Kotten Sheshokal, Mekablim Hemenu means, not that the Kotten gives the money from his own piggy bank. It means that the money was given on behalf of the Kotten, even though he's not obligated to give on behalf of Tanim, but money given by Gzoylem on behalf of Tanim may be accepted. Money given on behalf of Nachum may not be accepted. So you cannot accept outside the donation. It's not Bob and Edna Adobe. The money given on behalf of Tanim, the Kotten is also self part of Bal Yisrael. So that we will accept. That's not such a widespread thing. That you give to Ubrim, that you give to little children. Some yes and some not. Some start saying, some start not. Not a widespread. That's the minig the goyim introduced, that everybody should give Masna Shekel for supporting the yeshiva. Goyim with the heads of the yeshiva, so the fundraisers of the yeshiva. Rosh yeshiva is Goyim Yankiv, that was the full name. Goyim doesn't mean a genius or a great goyim, Talmud Chacham. It doesn't mean what it means to. Many of the goyim were not such great Talmid Chachamim at all. It's just the Kitzur Hashem. The name of the yeshiva was Goyim Yankiv. Yeshiva is Goyim Yankiv. But he used to call the head of the yeshiva Rosh yeshiva is Goyim Yankiv. So they called it the Kitzur Hashem, they called him the goyim. In history books, in the funny history books, they write that Goyin is a gematria of 60. That in order to be a Goyin, you have to know all the 60 Mesitzes and Shas. And they try to figure out which are the 60 Mesitzes and Shas. There aren't exactly 60. So they make a whole book for that. But that's not what it means. The word Goyin doesn't have nothing to do with it. The W do it. That was the next. Rosh Yeshiva is Goyin. Remember many years ago, Rav Soloveitchik told us that he once met up with his relative, Shaul Lieberman, from the seminary. So Shaul Lieberman once asked him about a certain Shuvas HaGoyim. You got to look excited. How can it be? How can a Goyim say such a thing? Rav Soloveitchik said, I don't know what he's telling us. Well, the Goyim didn't know how to learn. He said, my grandfather knew how to learn better than most of the Goyim. He Unless it's Tatif and they're famous going in somewhere. Rabbi Budoy going in, Rabbi Shiri going in, Rabbi Shanoi going in, Rabbi Sadi going in, the ones who are famous. Those, the others who are not so famous, just the head of Ishim. These fundraisers, they introduced this new meaning to collect Masa Shekel this season and year for the purpose of supporting the Ishim. And their contemporaries were opposed to this meaning because of the Hashash of Nirat and Magdish culture and Markus. Torah has a din of Kiddush Adayim Rad line for the purpose of Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. The Mishnah in Zlochim says that this is Ma'akev and Yevad. If a Kohen does Avodah Shlo Rechutz Yadayim Rad line, you learn that from the Pesukim that the Avodah is Mechulelah, the Avodah is possible. Do you ever have a Kohen doing only Kiddush Adayim without Rad line? A Kiddush Rad line without Yadayim? The first it sounds like it's described you have to do everything all together. So the Gemara gives cases, Mechassina points out. Gemara gives cases, let's say the guy's Mesiach Das and the Shmiras HaYadayim, but not from the Shmiras HaRaglaim, or from the Shmiras HaRaglaim, and not from the Shmiras HaYadayim. Then he only has to wash those which became lipsul. Shai has to wash one without the other. Gemara has a cloud called the Tikkun Rabbanon, came the right to Tikkun. So we have two takonas de Rabbanon that were patterned after this din de Raisa, that you have to do Kiddush Adayim HaRaglaim for the purpose of avodas HaKorbanos. One is that you have when you eat truma. Mishnah has it in. When Kohanim want to eat truma, they have to wash their hands. You don't have to wash their feet. They don't eat the sandwich with their feet. They drink the wine and they eat the bread of truma. They eat the truma with their hands. So the Chachamim wrote him, it's a kain, they're right. So you have it on level of their eyes also. Sometimes all you have to wash is your dust. You don't have to wash your life. If you were Mesir Tats and the Shmiris HaYadayim, and that's in the Raglan, so then you only have to wash the Yodah. So according to the Tikkun Rabbanon came, they're right to Tikkun, so they made such a takana that you need Tfilas Yadayim Letruma. And the Rambam says that the Gemara in the end of Brachas that requires until the time when you wake up in the morning is not because you woke up, because you were sleeping you woke up. Riyah Hadosha or whatever, Ruach Ro. The Rambam says no, it's because Chakra is Minchem Ayrim, when you damage Man Esrei. Filo is like an Avodah, so you need Kiddush Adayim Brach line. The Rambam says you have to wash your hands and your feet. The Rabbi says, why do you have to wash your feet? The Rabbi doesn't understand why you have to wash your feet. But that's what the Rambam writes, that when you go to Daven Shul, you have to wash your hands and your feet. Now we have another din that you have to wash in Tfilas Yadayim before you eat bread. That's the question in Rishonim. Machlok is the Rambam and the Ramban and the Sefer HaMitzvah. Is that also Mishum Srach Truma? Truma was Otu Kochim and the Tfilas Yadayim. Pechulin is an extension of that. And Tfilas Yadayim Pechulin is totally unrelated. It's only Mishum Nikiyas. Maybe it's only because of hygienic reasons. Nothing to do with Srach Truma. That's the fundamental Machlok is in the Tama Takana and Tfilas Yadayim. The Suda, and with a few Nafkaminis Ledin, and the Rishkirov has a Drasher about that. With several Nafkaminis Ledin in this, whether you need Mayim Shniyim or not, and a Tivus Yadayim Suda, it's Mishum Nikiyah, so what do you need Mayim Shniyim? But if it's Mishum Tumah, then the Mishnah says that the water that you use to wash your hands off will become Nismu, then you have to have Mayim Shniyim to remove the Tumah in the Mayim Rishonim. Other Nafkaminis also need that. So that's the Allah of Kiddush Yadayim Raglaim. Gemara has gone to the Sugis by Kiddush Yadayim Raglaim, the second parak in. In Zohar. And the Torah has a din of Ktoiris. You have to be Makhtik Ktoiris every day. Not Ktoiris. What's the next din in the Chumash? That's after that. First you have the din of Shemen HaMishcha. You have to make Shemen HaMishcha. What do you use Shemen HaMishcha for various purposes? The first, they have to use Shemen HaMishcha to do the Mishicha on the Mishkan and on the Kelim. And Aharon, Ubana Timshah. The Doris, you don't have to do Mashicha not on the Kalim. The Gemara says, Kala Kalim Shas and Mashi Mashichas and Kachas and Kamiela Habidot and Machankos. So this is only Harua Shah. And then the Doris, what do you use? You don't have to, every time a Kohen becomes a Mitzvah, you have to do Mashicha B'Shem and Amishka. No. That was only Harua Shah. In order to initiate, in order to create Yesh Meyayim, Kedushas Kahuna, you have to do Mashicha B'Shem and Amishka. But once the Kohen had Mashicha B'Shem and Amishka at that time, so then the Doris, the 8 o'clock from those who had the Mashicha, they don't need Mashiach again. So what would we ever use Mashiach B'Shem and HaMishcha for? Only to anoint a Kohen Gadol. They have a Kohen Mashuach B'Shem and HaMishcha or a Kohen Merubah B'Gadim. When they were going to B'Shem and HaMishcha towards the end of the period of the Bais Rishon, Yoshua HaMelech were going to B'Shem and HaMishcha in the basement of the Beis HaMikdash. So from that time on, how did you ever have a Kohen Gadol? So the Gemara learns that from Sukkim, you can become a Kohen Gadol like that, Merubah B'Gadim, by wearing. Just like Abidosa Mechanchas by the Kalim, so too, just wearing the 8 big day Kuhuna Gedolah make you into a kind of... It's what? If a kli broke, they had to make a new kli. Yeah. And then the Gemara says, Avedosa Mechankov. There's a difficult Rashi in Avedosa, Daphne Beis. But Rashi says that the Kohanim, the Kalim, in the Bais Rishon, there was a period of time that they used the Kalim for Avedosa purposes. There were always, it wasn't just in the 20th century that we have Reformed rabbis who were mixing in Avedosa with the Jewish religion. Time immemorial. That works. There were things going on through by Shrich and by Shem. The Pasuk says in Navi that there were skufas that they used in the days of Ochaz, no? That they used the Kalim in the Bais Rishon for Avodah Zarah purposes. So then it says, Hechanum the Hikdashnum. When they finally threw out all the Avodah Zarah, they cleaned up the mess. So they wanted to use these Kalim, they wanted to use the Kalim for the Beit HaMikdash again. The Rashi comments on Nun Beis on Beis and Avodah Zarah that they did Mashiach B'Shem and HaMishcha on them. That somehow the original Mashiach that was made in days Moshe Rabbeinu was in his Baku, they had to do Mashiach again. So the Mefarshim asked, what is he talking about? Kol Kem Shasa Moshe Mashiachas and Kat Shasa, that was only Kol Rosh Hashem, Kam Yerach HaVedos and Mechankot. That is Rashi talking, the days of Ochol and HaMemah, they would do Mashiach B'Shem and HaMishcha on Kalim. What is he talking about? Unless he means to say that these were the Kalim that were left over from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, these are the Alta Kalim. So these Kalim, the only thing that works on them is Mishichas and Mekadshos. Mekam Yeruch doesn't mean chronologically. Any time after the days of Moshe Rabbeinu means any new Kalim. If you make a new Kli, you'll have to have Avedos and Mekadshos. But on these Kalim, it'll never work Avedos and Mekadshos. So if you have a Kli that has Mishichas B'Shem and HaMishcha, and somehow the Kiddush HaKli was in his battle, how? Are they using it for Avodah Zarah purposes? So it's somehow Yotzei Mechulin? There's no longer kosher for use as a klisharis. They want to use that same kli back again as the klisharis in the Beis HaMikdash. So that's when Rashi says you're going to have to do Mashiach B'Shem HaMishcha. Perhaps that's what Rashi means. The Achrenim have it on the daf, on the side of the page, to tell you where to look. Rashi bring the other, tell you where to look, and that's which Sforum discussed that difficult Rashi. So with Ladaris, what do you use Mashiach B'Shem HaMishcha for? Use it for Kanzal. And if you don't have it, so how do you make a Kangaroo idea in the Rub of God? What else do you use Mashiach B'Shem and HaMishcha for? The Koy Mashiach Mechama. That's a Shaila. The Chassidah raises. The Zman Ba'isheni, that they had no Shem and HaMishcha, so how did they have a Mashiach Mechama? So he's going to say, they made him a Mashiach Mechama idea in the Rub of Godim. So he says it's wrong, because the Gemara says that the Koy Mashiach Mechama doesn't wear Shemayim of Godim. He only wears above Godim when he does avoid it in the Beit HaMikdash. So how can he become a Mashiach Mechama by substituting Ribid Gadim instead of Mashiach B'Shem and HaMishcha? He doesn't win. Ribid Gadim is like Avodah Zarah Mechankot, but he doesn't. The Koy Mashiach Mechama doesn't do Avodah Zarah B'Shem and HaMishcha. He only does by both Gadim. That's what he discusses. How does it work? Moshe Soloveitchik once held a drasha at a Chag HaSmicha, and that Minchas Chinuch. It's printed in the Kovetz Chidusha Torah from Rav Soloveitchik. As the drasha there. How do they answer this kasha from Minchas Chinuch? How do they have it? Who says there was a Mashiach Mechama b'tkufas b'ayishen? Maybe there wasn't. So the Minchas Chinuch quotes from Josephus that it says Yehuda HaMakabi was a Mashiach Mechama. No. But it says Josephus knew what he was talking about. Josephus wasn't, he may have been a guy, but so what? Lieutenants of the army of Goy Yankee. They've also been a Goy, but he didn't know how to learn. So who's saying no? He was talking about that. The whole cash is based on Josephus. And Josephus, it says that Yehuda HaMakabi was a Mashiach Mechama. That's the Shaila. How could he have been a Mashiach Mechama? There wasn't a Shem and HaMishcha. So what are you going to substitute Lubav Gadim instead? Doesn't work. So the writer said, what else do you use Shem and HaMishcha for? The service. What do you use it for? To anoint Melochim. When you have a new Melech. A Melech, then Melech doesn't need Mashiach B'Shem and HaMishcha. But when you anoint a new Melech, Yesh Meyayin, then you need Mashiach B'Shem and HaMishcha. That's the Melech HaMashiach. Why do you call it Melech HaMashiach? Because he's going to have Mashiach B'Shem and HaMishcha. Is he? That's Takadiyot. That's Adiyot Halacha Maisa. Is the Melech HaMashiach going to need Mashiach B'Shem and HaMishcha? He's going to get the Malchus Yerusha from his Elter Zedah, from his great-great-great-great-grandfather. Let's say if they ever appoint Rabbi Halach as the Melech HaMashiach, he claims to be a descendant from the Malchus Zedah. So they'll appoint him as the Melech HaMashiach. So will he need Mashiach B'Shem and HaMishcha? His father, Zechariah Levarach, didn't have the kingdom. His grandfather wasn't the king either. His great-grandfather wasn't. But all the way back somewhere over there was somebody had Mashiach B'Shem and HaMishcha. So the din that Melech doesn't need Mashiach, I mean, my father functioned as a Melech. My grandfather functioned as a Melech. My great-grandfather, they all functioned as a Melech. So therefore, I don't need Mashiach B'Shem and Amishcha. Or even if it wasn't functioning for 2,000, 3,000 years, but still, I got a Beirusha, so I don't need Mashiach. That's a deal. That's a deal that the later, recent Svarim told me, the last 100 years, when they were dreaming about Zionism, about Shinasim, they wrote about the Shaila. It's pretty unclear. So who else needs? The Gemara says only Malchei Beis David need Mashiach B'Shem and Amishcha. Anyone who's not from the Malchei Beis David, the Gemara says, it says in the Pesukim that Mashiach, so that was only Shemen HaFarsimot, that was imitation. That wasn't real Mashiach B'Shem and Amishcha. So to appoint the Kohen Gadol, you have to have Mashiach B'Shem and Amishcha. And to appoint the Melech from the Malchei Beis David, Mechadosh, you have to have Mashiach B'Shem and Amishcha. Kohen Gadol, the Gemara says, Kohen Gadol does need Mashiach B'Shem and Amishcha. That's the Shaila Manishtana. Why is it different? The Melech does not need Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol does need Mashiach B'Shem and Amishcha. Why? Just like Malchus does be Yerusha, Laman Yafyan and Maham Lachtahu Vada, the Kerry saw. So you learn that from the Pasuk that it goes be Yerusha. So there's a similar Pasuk by Kunik Dog also goes be Yerusha. Whenever it goes be Yerusha, you don't need Mashiach. So why does Kunik Dog need Mashiach or B'Shem Amishcha for the one who takes over be Yerusha? Psukim, you have to understand what are the Psukim saying. The son is not running, doesn't take over. The same by the Melech. Same by the Melech also. You mean any nitwit can run a government? Not exactly so. Maybe any nitwit can become a Kohen Gadol. Where is it more of a chance that the son will be right? By the Kohen Gadol or by Melech? Okay. I don't know. Could be. This is one of the Isurei Kares. It is one who uses Shemen HaMishcha improperly. Isha Asher Yirkach Kamo V'Ashiyitim Imenu Al-Zor Minichnas Mi'amruv. There are two Isurei Kares. Asher Yirkach Kamo, one who makes his own Shemen HaMishcha in the same Shiurim, the same Psalmim of the real Shemen HaMishcha. V'Ashiyitim Imenu Al-Zor. If somebody takes Shemen HaMishcha and smears it on the body of a non-Kohen Gadol or a non-Melech, someone who's not supposed to have Mashiach B'Shemen HaMishcha, the Nichras Me'amruv. These are two separate creatures. Asher Yirkach Kamo, or Asher Yitim Imenu Al-Zor. Imenu means from the original Shemen HaMishcha. Not if I make imitation Shemen HaMishcha and I'm over an Easter Kares, then I take that and I smear it on my body, and someone else's body, then it's not an Easter. Asher Yitim Imenu Al-Zor. Asher Yitim Imenu means from the real bona fide Shemen HaMishcha from Moshe Rabbeinu. From the original Shemen HaMishcha. That's how the Gemara says the sugi increases in the first parish. There is a Machlekes HaTanaim there increasing. Machlekes HaMeir Rav Yudah. What's the din? If we use the Shemen HaMishcha to anoint Rabbi Chalap, as the Melech HaMashiach, let's say, and then a week later he decides to have a little fun with someone else and they start smearing Shemen HaMishcha all over him, not for shame Mashiach. He already was appointed the Melech HaMashiach. They were going to stamp smear on him. Can you call him a Zar? Or we appointed, let's say, Rabbi Cohen as the Kohen Gadol. And then the next week after he was appointed the Kohen Gadol, then Stam is taking a bath in the Shemen HaMishcha for fun, not for the sake of Mashiach B'Shemen HaMishcha. Can you call him a Zar? Ashit Menu Al Zar. Zar means whenever it's not Kiyum Mitzvah, so it's called Zar. But he's saying, no, a Zar means a guy who is totally has no shaykhus with this stuff. But if he once had a shaykhus with it, then he's not called a Zar. So that's a Machlekes HaTanaim. Machlekes in the Braisa, in the first parak in Kriyas. And some Rishonim relate to this, the Machlekes HaTanaim that we had last year in, I don't know if we had it last year, in Sanhedrin, in Perek Arbamisis, I think. The Gemara quotes a Mishnah from Truma about a Bas Kohen eats Truma. What if the Bas Kohen marries a Levi or a Yisrael? She no longer eats Truma. What if a non-Kohen eats Truma B'Shoyim? So what if a Bas Kohen used to eat Truma until she gets married, and then she goes and she gets married to a non-Kohen, she marries a Yisrael or a lady, so she's forbidden to eat Truma, and then she forgets and she eats the Truma B'Shoyim. Can you call her a Zar? She wasn't allowed to eat the Truma, she was over in Avera. But can you call her a Zar, technically speaking, a Zar? But you say, no, how can you say she's a Zar? For so many years she was eating Truma. So some Rishonim, the Shikim Kubetis on the side of the Gemara Krishas, he relates, and the Yosamech also writes like that on his own. He relates that it happens to be the same Tanon. Like the Meir Yehuda in Mishnah and Truma, that's quoted in Sanhedrin in Paragraph of Mises, he relates that to their machloikas l'shitosim in the first Perek in Kriyas, where the Zar has to be Mechila b'Yatsof. Well, Zar means whenever it's a bitul mitzvot, it's called a Zar. It's not a description of the person, a total stranger. Zar, a total stranger, has no shaykhus with it. Whatever he's not supposed to be doing it now, that's called a Zar. That's a machloikas ha-Tanoim. Then the Chumash has the din of Ktoiris. You have to bring Ktoiris every single day. In the morning and the evening. And the Ktoiris has to be Yud Aleph Salmanim, specific Yud Aleph Salmanim. The Gemara points out that the Chelbono had a Reach Ra. When you burn Chelbono alone, it has a terrible odor, Rashi says. Bosam Shereach Ra. Well, when you mitzaref it together with all of the other Sanamanim, so the Reach Ra doesn't come out. But the Gemara, Rashi quotes from the Gemara that this is to teach us the Musa Haskel, that when we have a tiny Siva, we should be mitzaref the Rishoyim in the title. Lelamdeinu, Shelo Yekal Be'einenu Litzarefi Imanu Bagudas Tiny Yoseinu Tiloseinu Yitzpashi Yisrael Sheiyu Nimneim Imanu. What do you mean on a tinus and feelers if they want to come? Usually they don't want to come to shul. But Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, they come to shul. So we shouldn't chase them away. They want to come to shul, so we should be mekarev them, let them come. The Maharsha has a famous comment that many are fond of quoting. The Maharsha on the Chiddushi HaGadol, on that Gemara increases, he says that's why the Ktoiris had to have Yud Aleph on money, because the Chelbon is not mitzvah for the minyan. These people only come Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. You got to make sure you have more than 10 people when you start the daven, because these Rishoyim are not mitzvahs for the minyan. Then the parasha describes the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu appoints the Tzalel in charge of all of those who are going to do the Malachas HaMishkan. The Gemara in the beginning of Perek and Tzara assumes that the Tzalel must have been Bar Mitzvah, and the Gemara with the Tzitzis discussed here how old was he that he became Bar Mitzvah, when did he become Bar Mitzvah, what age. He the din in the Zoritz HaRishayim was that he became Bar Mitzvah at an earlier age. That's what Tzitzis discusses there. Why did the Gemara assume that he had to be Bar Mitzvah? Because it says Ish. It says in the Pasuk that the people have to make the Beis HaMikdash Ish. Ish implies that he has to be Bar Mitzvah. What's the significance? He has to be Bar Mitzvah. I think they quote in the name of Rizkarov that it says in the beginning of Truma, also Li Mikdash, Rashi writes Li Lishmi, that the Asiya has to be Lishma, and the Gemara says in Gittin that a get needs to see Lishma, and a cotton is a lot of you can't make Lishma. Two Lishainis in the Gemara, 2 days in the Gemara, because Mishnah and Gittin around Abchav Gimel talks about a cotton writing a get. The one opinion in the Gemara is that the cotton can only write the Tophet, he can't write the Torah. The other opinion in the Gemara, can he even write the Torah? Even though he's a lot of Adas. So what? A lot by that means he can't do Kiddushin, but he can still write Sigul HaShema. The Rishon Lakish said, this Gemara seems to be assuming that all those who made the Kalim for the Beis HaMikdash had a big dilem because he needed that field of Shema, and the Kotmans are incapable of creating the Shema. And the Pasuk lists up all of the various Kalim that they had to make. Then all of a sudden again the Torah repeats the Tzivo Yam Alech HaShabbos. What's the significance of writing the din of Alech HaShabbos right next to the Asiyas HaMishkan? So the Rishayim points out that apparently this is what the Gemara, this is the source for the Gemara to learn out that has to have a Mishkan Hashiva Korelayav, has to have a Mishkan Hashiva Korelay Tolda. The only things that were obvious, the Torah never explains what are Malachas, says you're not permitted to do Malachas HaShabbos, never says what the Malachas are. So the Gemara says whatever activities were necessary for Asiyas HaMishkan, those activities constitute Malachas. So this is known through the Smichas HaParshiyos. We have several times in the Chumash, the Smichas HaParshiyos between Malachas HaMishkan and Shmiras HaShabbos. Shabbos is described as a special day, Beini Vemine Yisrael, Oisei V'Yoyom. A special day to celebrate the unique relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Bnei Yisrael. We are born in Lamokan, Achoisi, Rayosi, Anosi, Samosi, special relationship. HaKadosh Baruch Hu singles out this day that he has special yechidus with Bnei Yisrael. And the Zohar comments on this pasuk, the pasuk we quoted, Halacha between Yom Tzion and Abin Yezer, talk about the halachas based on this Zohar. The Gemara has a din that a Nachri is not permitted to observe Shabbos. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin that Benoyach Sheh Shabbat is Chai Mitzvah. A Goy who observes Shabbos Chai Mitzvah based on the pasuk in Parshas Noach. that it says Yom of Alayla Lo Yishbot. Simple shot in Pasuk is that that although during the period of the Mabul all of nature was all today, but after the Mabul was over, after the Shabbos was swore that he's never going to bring such a Mabul again to the world. And Kayis Bachorev, how does he say, the summer, the winter, the spring, and the fall, and the day, and the night, Lo Yishbot will never cease. Everything will function normally from now on. So that's a simple reading in the Pasuk. The Gemara has an additional level of interpretation, and that Pasuk that it means that the people, Lo Yishbot, are never permitted to take a day off and observe it as a Shabbat, as a holiday, as a Sabbath, not in the summertime, not in the wintertime. The Gemara takes that as a mocker for the Noach Shabbat that he's chayimik. But the Zohar commented on this Pasuk, that the day of Shabbat is a special day of Yechidus, a special day. Let's say someone has a Yechidus with a Lubavitcher Rebbe, or with some other great tzaddik, and another, and someone barges into the room. So the Zohar gives a motion that the king is having a private session with his wife, and all of a sudden the maid has the key to the door, and she walks in the middle of the bedroom, and she starts thinking about this. So the king is going to get furious. He's going to kill the maid. Why is she coming here in the middle? I want to have a little privacy. So too, a Nachri who comes in on Shabbos and starts to observe Shabbos is barging in on a special private yechidus that Bnei Yisrael have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Amnineza has a whole discussion about this special Beini Bnei Yisrael Ois Hi, this special Ois, this special yechidus, is this only on Shabbos, or is it on Yom Tov as well, or is it on Kalamite as well? There's a whole discussion. Vinyan Tzion has it in a different, talks about the Zohar in a different context. What if you have a Nachri, Shemol V'loi Tavol, the guy wanted to convert, and he only underwent Nilani, didn't have the Tzilius, so he's still a guy Gomer. Shemol V'loi Tavol is still a guy. The Gemara, we, Machloit Tatarain, we pass in Yivamis and Perak HaCholet, that they're both Li'ikuvah, the person is still a guy. So is he permitted to be a Shema Shabbos at that time? Is he forbidden to be a Shema Shabbos? Is he permitted to be a Shema Shabbos? Is he required to be a Shema Shabbos? There was a big mice in Yerushalayim 150 years ago. There was a guy who was Malvalei Tovah, and then and he was waiting till he was gain up enough strength in order, a week or two, in order to go to the mikveh to become a ger. And then he walked into shul to daven Minchan Shabbat afternoon, and the rabbi in Yerushalayim is on vacation. He happens to be in Europe, so the assistant rabbi was taking over. The assistant rabbi saw the guy, so he said, hey, you weren't table yet, make sure you're Mechal Shabbos. He said, what do you mean make sure Mechal Shabbos? So he's in the middle of the process of converting. So he said, no, but you didn't complete the conversion yet, so he's still a guy. So the dinner that a guy has to be Mechal Shabbos. So he told him he has to sign his name on a piece of paper to make sure that he was practicing Shmir Shabbos. So he told him, you have to make sure that you do some act of Chilul Shabbos, you have to write your name or something, in order not to be in violation of the dinner by Mechal Shabbos. So there was a big machlekes at that time whether he did right or he did, whether the rabbi, the assistant rabbi, did right or did wrong. Someone published a whole collection about a year, 3-4 years ago. One of the yeshivas in Detroit, I think, the Kerl in Detroit, published a whole collection of all the yeshivas that were written regarding this incident. But somehow that it was wrong that a guy, Shemol, Vavoy Tovau, is a Yisrael Gomor. Once you're Mal, you're Yisrael Goma. The only thing is, but if he's not, no. If he wants to, he can back out from the Geirus. But if later on he's tabled in the mikveh and he didn't back out, then I say he was always Jewish from day number one, from the day that he did the Milah. The Milah Allah makes him a Yisrael. That's a very wild notion. That's not the way he... I don't think anybody else assumes like that. One of the Gedolim at that time had such an idea. So he held that if the guy was mobile, like Tavol, he's mechuyev to observe all the mitzvot ha'Torah. He's mamash Yisrael Gomer. Except if he decides to change his mind, we have no tainus against him. And others tell us that's totally wrong. He's still a guy Gomer. But this Easter of being Shema Shabbos doesn't apply. So that's what the Binyan Tzion says. It's based on the Zohar and this pasuk, that since Bris Milah is also an Oz Bris, Shabbos is an Oz Bris, so whoever has the Oz Bris Milah, he's not in violation of this din if he's going to observe Shabbos, even though he's still a guy. But since he's Mal Hashem Geirus, so the Milo was Chal, and there's no Issa. You know, to tell that the rabbi was right, but there is an Issa for him to be a Shem Shabbos. The Shabbos comes up every week. Every week there's a guy who just had Milo and didn't have Tzilu. Shabbos every Shabbos, whether these people should observe Shabbos or not. Moshe Rabbeinu was given the luchos, and he came down and he saw Bnei Yisrael worshiping the eagle, so he smashed the luchos. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu told him he should make luchos shniyos. The luchos shniyos, it says in the Chumash, were a different material. The luchos rishonos, it says, "Haluchos ma'ase lekim heima v'michta michta v'lekim hu chavit haluchos." The luchos rishonos, it doesn't say where the material was from, so the Medrash says it was from tachas kisei hakavod. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't bring up any material from earth. It was some heavenly material, and the engraving was also a divine engraving. Michtav michtav alekim hu chavis aluch l'shad is the luch ha-shniyot. The luch ha-shniyot HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "Tzol luch ha-shnei luch ha-salonim," he should carve out rocks and bring them up. So the luch ha-shniyot, the material was from this world. It wasn't otherworldly material. The question is, what about the ksav? It says, "Tzol luch ha-shnei luch ha-salonim chas ha-pil ha-rakos," I will engrave it. So it sounds like the michtav is michtav alekim. It was the Ksav Yad Katsha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's just that it's, the material wasn't from Tachas Kisei HaKadosh. That's the Pashav Shat Mechumish. But there is a group of Rishonim, and there are Makaris and Midrashim that indicate otherwise, that really Moshe Rabbeinu, both Shinuim were there. It was material from this world, and Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it. I said so many times, I will write, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will write. So the interpreter means, I will help you write the Luchos. Like it says, Komokam Asher Asker Shmi Ova Elecha Berachtichu. What does it mean, Komokam Asher Asker Shmi? Wherever I will give you permission to mention the Shema on first. The Baruch Hashem is not saying, mentioning his name in the Beit HaMikdash, he gives us permission. That's what the whole group of Rishayim and some Midrashim indicate like that. They interpret that the Luchos Shniyos were written by Moshe Rabbeinu. So, question, what was the text of the Luchos Shniyos? Some assume that the text of the Luchos Rishonos is the text that appears in Yisro. The text of the Luchos Shniyos is the text that appears in Parshas Vaetkana. One of the Amoraim is asking the other one, how come in the second Luchos it says toys and the first Luchos it doesn't say toys? Like Tibet Aviyam, I think. Man Yitavlo. The Gemara asks, the other Hakam says Tayyid, and the second Luchos doesn't say Tayyid in the first Luchos. So the other Amora says, instead of asking me for the Hezbir Adova, why says Tayyid doesn't say Tayyid? Hashat Shaleini Loma says, Shaleini in them are Tayyid. Ask me if it says Tayyid. What do you mean? You didn't know the Atheras are different. You didn't know what it says in the Chumash. So the Tayyid is more about it, like, yeah, but sometimes the Amoran didn't know Tanakh. Tarach means Chumash. Sometimes we didn't know the Tzudim Chumash. That's what they do. So the Bnei Yeshua, that Gemara in Bava Kamma, Rav Nundala says, he doesn't think that that's the Shem. He thinks that the Amora meant a different thing. That the question, the one who asked, was assuming that these two texts of the Aseret HaDibros represent the text that appeared on the different Luchos. That this was the text in the Luchos Yishayim, this is the text in the Luchos Shniyos. And he says, if you look in the Chumash, it never says that. Doesn't say that there was a different text. The Chasapir Halachos Tadvarim Asher Haru Halachos Arishanim Asher Shibarito. Sounds like it's the exact same text. So how come there's a discrepancy? So the Gemara says when HaKadosh Baruch Hu proclaimed the Aseret HaDibros at Har Sinai, he said Zach v'Shama b'Dibur Echad Mashen Apei Yichol Lishma V'Loy Mashen Apei Yichol L'Dabur V'Loy Hoyz Nichol L'Lishmoya. The same color on the Shami, certainly he can't say two words at the same time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it, and Bnei Yisrael has heard it, whatever, and he proclaims that both texts at the same time, but which text was written? Maybe they both had the first, maybe they both had the second, but to assume that one had the first, one had the second, is Elabdach. I think Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky doesn't quote this Bnei Yeshua, but he writes this on his own also, and then he discusses, so which one was Tata written, Zohar or Shoma? Okay. The whole simple. which one was written in the Aseret HaDibros and which one was only recited by Peh. That Egel is a very strange story. The Gemara seems to understand al pishuto that the Jewish people worship Tabut Israel. It says, Ela Elahecha Yisrael, Asher Ha'aluch on the earth and shrine, that they worship Tabut Israel. The Gemara learns that in Sanhedrin Adab Samachal, the old sugi of Oyed Tabut Israel. The Gemara learns that not only if a person worships Tabut Israel, even if he doesn't actually worship, it just says, Eliyato, you are my God, this is also Chai Mishim Tabut Israel. And it says over here, Ela Elahecha Yisrael. They just made a statement, and they were nitzchayvah mitzvah just for that statement alone. That's also an act of Avodah Zarah. So the simple reading in the Gemara is that they worship Avodah Zarah. The Ramban and the Kuzari before him, and the different Meforshei HaChumash understand otherwise. They interpret that it wasn't actually Avodah Zarah. They just said, Kizem Moshev HaYish Asher HaLonim Yantan Bayadana Mehoyolah. They wanted someone to substitute for Moshe Rabbeinu. And it doesn't mean that they really deified the Egel. So all different interpretations. Like the way you do with the Gemara, so I said, the Gemara, that's a drasha. That's an additional level of interpretation, but that's not the Pshuta Shal Mikra. They claim the Pshuta Shal Mikra implies that there wasn't really an act of Avodah Zarah. Well, Father, how is it possible that the people saw Gilui Shechina? They saw Matez Becheres, Abayte, Vitzan, Balalaz, Anibel, Malach, Anibel, Yashaliyah, there was Gilui Shechina, with those with Mops, and the Nisim, and the Flores, and Imin, Aitina, everything. And after this, just 40 days later, they go and they worship Avodah Zarah. How is it possible? That's what the Rishonim said. It couldn't be. It means something else. It means this. It means that. Different interpretation. It's a very difficult parsha. Moshe Rabbeinu came down and he gave him over the head. Whatever they did, a mitzvah certainly was. Certainly some kind of an avir. So he told them, "Horeid ed yecho mealecho. You must remove your tachshitim." What was the ed yecho? The Rashi quotes from the Gemara, the Ksorim. What crown? So the Gemara says that when Bnei Yisrael Hizbim Onasa L'Nishma, so many angels came out from heaven and they put two crowns on everybody's head. One crown can Ege Nasa, one crown can Ege Nishma. And then after they sinned with the Chet HaEgel, so all the crowns were removed. Hurry that you call me Alecho, all the crowns were removed. And then it says that all the crowns were given to Moshe Rabbeinu. This machamayish matan tzchalki kevinem tzchalki was kvil tzeres b'rosh ha-tzatzalah. What kvil tzeres? So that's what it says in the Dami. So the Gemara says, the Gemara doesn't say that that's what it's referring to, but the Gemara must have a shan perek om rabakinu. The Gemara says that all the crowns that they took off at this time, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't sin with the chesed, so he was zecha to all the crowns. He got all those crowns. You don't know what this means. The Zohar, these psukim, learned that the edyacha refers to the tzilin. Sivan Shal Yad and Sivan Shal Rosh. There's a whole discussion. Those who weren't aware of the Zohar have a whole discussion when did the mitzvah of Sivan begin. Still, you have to have Dalat Parshiyah. So they had all the Dalat Parshiyah already then. They had all of Kadesh Rei Yachor, that's in Parshiyah's body. They had Parshiyah's body. It's before Kisisa. It was at the time of the Kisisa's son. The Shmah Bar Yon Shmah is later. So they had it already, those Parshiyahs they had. Or they had tzilim, the two parshas, or they had no tzilim. So all discussion in Achrayim. Did the Bnei Yisrael wear tzilim in the Midbar, or did they only wear tzilim in the later days? The Zohar says that's tzilim. The Zohar says that that's what they had to remove at the time. Why did they have to remove the tzilim like one who's in Menudah? The Gemara has an Ibaya, where the one who is Menudah is Mutter the tzilim or Asa the tzilim. How do we pass in as a tzilim in Shulchan Aruch? In Hilchas and Machaber, this is Tira. In Hilchas Tzilin, I think the Machaber writes Mechumra. And since they could write a Mechumra, so the Menudah is not permitted to wear Tzilin. And if you're a day, in Hilchas Tzilin, he passes Mechumra, but he says the whole Dina of Tzilin is only with the Rabbanon, so it's a state of the Rabbanon of Tzilin. That's a Machlech of Rishon, whether the whole Dina of Tzilin and Nidu, you all the Dina of Nidu are the Raisa or the Rabbanon. Taisa says all the Dina of Nidu are only with the Rabbanon, and the Ramban holds that in the Mishpat Acherim, the Rabban, the last passage in Vayikra, in Kuvish Vayikra, the Rabban has a whole punches. And Mishpat Acherim holds that the Dinam of Acherim and Nidoi are Dinam Derai. So that's the Shaila, whether if you have a topic in the Gemara regarding Tzilin, can you call it a Seika Derai? And you go to Chum, you don't have anymore. The Gemara says in the end of Perek Adonis, that when Rav Lezer was about to die, Rav Lezer Gadol, but he realized that his death was imminent, so he took off his tefillin before he died. Do you see that he was wearing tefillin? I did Gemara says about him say that they put Rav Lezer in chayim. The Tanoim put Rav Lezer in chayim. So why was he wearing tefillin? So there's a little tesis there, I think, where tesis quotes the Rav Yoh. Tesis never quotes the Rav Yoh. It must have been put in. Someone put in another tesis from a different region. But in this Gemara you see that Halacha L'maaseh, one who's in Chayram does wear tefillin. Because Rav Lezer was in Chayram and he did wear tefillin. And others say it's not a right, that they never really put Rav Lezer in Chayram. They just took a neder. They took a neder to act as if he were in Chayram. They never really actually put in the Chayram. The Haraya that the Gemara says, yeah, on the list up in Teretz Adamitzis, that when Rav Lezer, after Rav Lezer died, so they wanted to be matter the chayrim, because Misha makes the niduyah, there's a cell from the sarona. They put a big slab of stone on top of his coffin in order to demonstrate that he really deserved to die from steel. So they were matter his chayrim in order that there should be cell from the sarona. So the Russian that they used at that time was Huter Aneder, Huter Aneder. So the Russian discussed what kind of a strange Russian, they should say Huter Acherim. That's what some interpret, that he never really was put in chayram. They took a neder to act the chalila, they were never put up. Lezer Avraham Lachem, he was bigger than him. But just he gave him all a little bit too hard, he used to give the other Tanaim a hard time. He always insisted that he was right, that he can't be outvoted, that he's bigger than him, he can't outvote him. So they took a neder to treat him as if he were in chayram. If he died, they said, Hutra neder. But they never really put him in chayram. If they never put him in chayram, so of course he wears two. That's not right. But one could say, according to the Zohar Mahalat, that that's the voice over here. So the Gemara says that after the Chet HaEgel, the Gemara says in the first Perek in my cousin, after the Chet HaEgel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu treated Bnei Yisrael during the Midbar as menudim l'shamayim, as if they were menudim. Maybe that's what he told them, that they have to remove their tefillin. That's part of the din of Nidui, is that you're not allowed to wear tefillin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu the secret of the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachmin. The Gemara says there are Yud Gimel Midas HaRachmin. The Taisus there in Rosh Hashanah, the first Perek, quotes two opinions. There are more than two opinions. There are six or seven opinions. You look at the Torah Shlema, he lists up all of you. Which are, how do you count the Yud Gimel Midas? The Taisus only quotes two. Taisus quotes, Vayav Hashem Amparam Vayikra, and Hashem proclaimed. The Yud Gimel Midas runs out Hashem, Hashem, Kael, Rachum, Chanun, Erech Hafayim, Rav Chesed, Emet, Nasi Chesed, Lalofim, Nasi Ovmo, Ofesh, Vahatoa, Vin Akech. These are the 13. Then Tosfos quotes another opinion from the Rabbi Nissen Gaon, I think, that why should you count Hashem, Hashem is 2 meters? That doesn't make any sense. Tosfos says, no, Hashem, Ani Hashem Kodim Sheyech Tohorim, Ani Hashem Lacha Sheyech Tohorim. And Tosfos says, that's why you count it as 2, because the Gemara says there's 2 different meters of Rashi. So Rashi quotes. And the Rabbi Nissen Cohen says, no, you read it differently. Vayar Hashem upon him, Vayikra Hashem. Call it. And Hashem proclaimed. The following Yud Gimel Midas, Hashem, Kael, Rachum, Chanun, Erech Hafayim, Rav Chesed, Be'emet, Nasa Chesed, Lo Alofna. You count it as 2 meters. Nasa Chesed, and Lo Alofna. Nasa Chesed is Chesed, and Lo Alofna. Midasizim, Ruba, and Midas Peron. Nasi Ovm, Rofesh, Vahato, Vin Akeh. These are the two sheets that they say. And there are many other, another 3-4 sheets in the Shanim and Achranim from Arizal, the Kovim, the Sanal, they quote Arizal, but I'm from a different sheet. You don't count either of the two Hashem Hashem. Different Cheshbon. In the Rush, the Taisus and the Rush over there point out that we have a minute that we, on different occasions during the year, during Kriyas HaTorah, we sing along with the Baal Kerei different parts of the Kriyas HaTorah. So part of that minig, the tail end of the minig is observed on Purim. That you say 2 or 4 psukim of Geula. Our minig is that we say 4 psukim of Geula in the Megillah before the Baal Kerei. But that's part of the big minig that all year long we used to say. In the Eshkol, of course, the Shuvas HaGoyim, that they had 10 psukim in Chumash, and that's 6 psukim in Novi, and 6 psukim in Ksum. A lot of psukim in Chumash come from Av Yashir. Every third or fourth part of Av Yashir, you're supposed to stay along with the Chazan in different places. And this is also one of them, that on a time of Tiber, we stay along with the Baal Kerei, the Yud Gimel Midas. So the Shaila is, where do the Yud Gimel Midas begin? So the Rosh says that according to one opinion, they begin from the second, Hashem Kel Racham Echanun. So he's going to say, Hashem, Hashem Kel Racham Echanun. So what do you say the first Shem for?
It's Moshe Shem Shemayim La'atolim. According to the other day, that the Yudim Amidus begin with Hashem Hashem. So that's where we're supposed to begin, Hashem Hashem. In order to avoid this getting involved in this machloikis, whether the first Shem counts or not, so that's why many have the meaning that you stop in the beginning of the pasuk. Yav Hashem Aponu Bayikra Hashem Hashem. For sure you said, for sure you had a right to say the first Shem. You started from the beginning. What does Amidus mean? That's the question. I don't remember that. So years ago, I don't think that was a common practice at all.
Yeah.
And everybody stopped. Yeah. I for many, many years, for the first 35 years of my life, I don't remember that it was common at all. I don't remember that at all in any shul. Yeah. They should pause after Vayav Shem Afanu Vayikra. They said everything together. Vayav Shem Afanu Vayikra, Shem Hashem Farach Mahat. Yeah, because the Rush points out that this is the issue of whether the first pronouncing of the first Shem is Moshe Shem Shemayim Levat Tom or not. So that's why the meaning is that we saw from the beginning of the pasuk. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells me so that he's making a crisis with the Jewish nation over the Torah. Al pi advar v'ayel karati chabris be'etz Yisrael. The crisis bris is a bris begging the Torah. Not some HaKadosh Baruch Hu singled out the Jewish nation because he likes them as a nation because they're smarter, as they're here, as some unique feature. No, because of the bris of Shmiras HaTorah. The Gemara points out that this part, the beginning of Shvi, speaks of two Torahs, the Torah Shebichtav and the Torah Shebalpek. Sovachas Hadvarm Ha'ele, Ki Alpi Hadvarm Ha'ele. These things and those things, these are those, two different things. Sovachas Hadvarm Ha'ele refers to the Torah Shebichtav. Alpi is the Torah Shebalpek, Hadvarm Ha'ele, that the Le'nichlis, which the Gemara in Gittin later has, in Torah Kamezach, Le'nichlis of Rishim Yisrael, El Al Torah Shebalpek. The Ikekrisis Gris was on Torah Shebalpek. How do the two compare to each other? The bulk of the Torah, Torah Shebichtav, the Torah Shebalpek, so the Gemara later in Gittin, in Torah Kamezach, has a Machlekes of Lezer and Levi Yechonon. But the Rav Torah is Bichtav or Rav Torah is Balter. The Prima Gadim in the Tzicha HaKolel is Tzarech Chaim, close to the Be'er Sheva, where is the Kasha, how can it be? Tzatzile Tloim. Be'er Sheva is the beginning of Harit. How is that possible? The Rav Torah is Bichtav. How big is the Old Tanakh? And how big is the Talmud and the Mishnayis and all the Svarim? Of course the Rav HaTorah is Balter. How can anybody say the Rav HaTorah is Torah is Bichtav? But the Be'er Sheva says no, that the Machloikis in Igmar is not a Machloikis in fact, it's a Machloikis in Din. That we know that the Ramidah Shatar and the Drashah Shem that he derived Torah Shabbat Peh Dinim based on Drashahs of Pesukim. Then we have parts of Torah Shabbat Peh that have no Pesukim at all. Halacha Moshe Nisina. So the Machlekes of Yechanan, but there's very little Halacha Moshe Nisina. How many Halachas Moshe Nisina are there? Not so many. The Rambam gives you a number. The Chavis Yor says the number is way off. If I'm still out of the truth, it's 120 Halacha Moshe Nisina. Something like that, I'm just like. The Rambam gives a very low number and they say he made a big mistake. Many more. But in Gansan, how many are you can listen more on two pages? All the halachas of Moshe Mitzina. So that's for sure a miyur. The halachas of Moshe Mitzina for sure is a miyur. And the bulk of the whole literature of the Torah are those dinim which are midrash through sukkim. So the Be'er Sheva and the Prima Gadim is masking with him. The Be'er Sheva claims that that's the machlokes between Avlozer and Rabbi Yechon, whether the dinim that are midrash through the midrash are turned to Rashi's have the status of Torah Shabbat, or they have the status of Torah Shabbat. Why not Kimina? What's the difference? Has this status, that status? He starts rattling off Nafkimina. He rattles off Nafkimina. You have to check into all the Nafkimina to see the Tzicha Kolelis, to see if they really are Ike Halfa. Also at the end of the Seder, the Torah has a din of Liyas Panim Ba'azor, Yerod Kol Zichok Has Pneha Oden Hashem Ola Pei Yisrael. The Gemara Darshan is on this part of Yireh Yeroy. It's a Kriya Nixiv. Why is the Kriya Nixiv spelled the same way? The Gemara says it doesn't matter. We still consider this a Kriya Nixiv. Yireh Yeroy. The men should go to the Azor to see the Shechina, and Yeroy Kol Zichok, they should appear in the presence of the Shechina. The Shechina should look at them. And the Sefer Sechem is, the author prints a letter that Rav Shlomo Lozuma sent to him. regarding this pasuk. The Gemara, the last half in Masechet Chagigah, quotes a brisa that describes that during the period of the Bais Rishon, they used to roll up the curtain separating between the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the Heichal, and show the people the Kruvim hugging each other. And then even during the period of Bais Sheni, where there were no Kruvim, because it was hidden in the basement, so they used to lift up the Shulchan and then squeeze the Lechem Apanim to show the people that at the end of the week it was still fresh, that a constant nest occurs, that not only is it fresh on the day that they put it on, Lechem Cham Ki Yom Hilokhoi, even on the day that it was taken off, on the Shabbos after it was put on, over a week after it was baked on Friday, put on the next day, and then the Kohanim took it off the next Shabbos, and they ate it. The Malava Malkin, the Shabbos after the Malava Malkin. So that Lechem Cham was just as soft as it was on the day that it was put there. So how did the Kohanim and the Beit HaMikdash get such an einfach that they should put on this act for the Oilei Golim? That they rolled up the curtains and show them the Kruvim and they picked up the Shulchan. Sounds like that's just modern stuff. I got sneaked in, you march down the aisle. So he says they saw it from the Pasuk Yireh Yerayah. They had a tradition, had an ancient tradition that this Pasuk has a Korean experience. That everybody, all the men should appear in the presence of the Shekhinah and they should see the Shekhinah. Not going to see the Shekhinah, the Baruch Hashem is invisible. But the answer is you should look at the Nisim Sedirim, you should look at the unusual things in the Beit HaMikdash, and that's considered Yireh Kol Zechuchah, that's considered as if you saw something. So they would show them the Kruvim hugging each other, which represents the HaKadosh Baruch Hu hugging Knesset Yisrael, the love between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael. And then they would also show them the Lechem Apanim, the nest with the Lechem Apanim, that it was fresh. By Yireh. At the end of Parshas Kisi. The end of the Parsha tells about Moshe Rabbeinu with the Matzah. That somehow after the Lucha Shniyas, he was zeicher to call on all Pnei Moshe, Kirin Ponim. That's what some of the Mefarshim say. Why was he zeicher to? The Medrash talks about him. Hechem Zachar Moshe Lekarni Hoi. What did he do that he was zeicher to these carne hoy? Michelangelo has a horn that's based on the pasuk carne hoy. So the Medrash discusses what did he do to be zeicher to carne hoy? Some of them are partially say because he did the writing on the second luchas. That's the machlokes. Who wrote the second luchas? So he say that he did the writing, writing on stone, engraving on stone is a hard job. That says v'yachtova halachos. I will help you write it. So the Rabbanu Shlom helped him write it. The Tzom Rishonim say at that time he was zeicher to the Kaneh Hodesh, from engraving and chiseling out the Aseret HaDibros on the Luchos. That's why he was zeicher. That's why it follows the second Luchos. So the pasuk says, "Vayiru migeshes elo." When he came down from Har Sinai and he had the Kaneh Hodesh, the people were frightened to come close to him. So he put out a matzah. When he went into the Heichal, he didn't have a matzah. It was all Moshe l'fnei Hashem adabarito to speak to the Shekhinah. Yosir ha matzah, I'll say so. Yosir the Dibra of B'nai Yisrael, Eish Hashem, to the Dibra of the Dibim to B'nai Yisrael. So when did he wear the matzah? When didn't he wear the matzah? It's a little unclear in the Chumash. So some of Farshim claim they're opposite sheetahs. When did he wear the matzah? So some say that you read the psukim like this. Moshe Rabbeinu came down and he didn't know the Yodah Moshe Kikoran or Pana, but that reason, he didn't know that he got this Kiran Pana. They were frightened. He told over the dinim. When he finished saying over the dinim, Vayichal, Moshe, Midaber, Itam, Vayitein Alpan Ab Masrei. He put on a masrei when he wasn't saying over the dinim. When he went into the Heichal to speak to Hashem, Vom Moshe Gadaber Ita with the Shekhinah, Yotzer Ha Masrei. The Yotzer the Dibel Bnei Yisrael without a masrei. So when did he wear the masrei? Not when he was in the Heichal, and not when he told over the dinim Bnei Yisrael. The rest of the day. Because they were scared. So when he said over the dinim to Bnei Yisrael without a masrei, they weren't frightened out of their wits. A man with big horns, rays of light coming out of his head, tells you over the dinim. You won't be scared. But when he sits in the base medicine, he learns all day, then you'll be scared, so then he puts on a mask.
Pashut Pshat, Hamas is a myth. That's how Rashi says it. That's how Rashi says it. So the Pashut Pshat seems to appear that it is so. It would appear that B'nai Yisrael at that time were not nervous. When they said over the dinim, they were not nervous. They saw this scary individual. But somehow they realized that it was Shechinim and Daberet and Tazwana. They weren't afraid. And then when he finished delivering the Shia, and then he was Tam Shmuzing, then they were frightened out of their wits. Because it was no longer Shechinim and Daberet and Tazwana. But Kozman, he was saying over the dinim, they were not frightened. They could tell that this is... He just opened up his mouth, and the words were flowing. And that somehow, that was like Maamen Hatzina, a continuation of Maamen Hatzina. And later, after he finished saying over the dinim, then they were frightened. They could tell the difference whether he was saying over a Divrei Torah, direct from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or not. And others say just the reverse, that when he spoke to B'nai Yisrael, that's when he did wear the mask. That's how the Rabbag said. Now, Peter Sitzchak quotes this Rabbag, and he says the Rabbag must have had a wrong text in the Chumash. He says, because in HaChumash it says the reverse. Not like Rav Levi ben Gershom, he must have had a mistaken text in the Sukkim, because in our Sukkim it says that he didn't wear the mask when he said over the dinim. Rabbag doesn't seem to have had a different person, a different reading, he must have had a different interpretation of the Sukkim. The simple reading is where that Levi took it. When he said over the dinim, he didn't wear the mask, only the rest of the day he wore the mask. What is the mask supposed to represent? So Rabbag, by the way, claims that it's only a marshal, he never wore a mask. Moshe Rabbeinu never wore a mask. He says that the master means something else. He starts describing that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was in Har Sinai, was learning the Chavrusa with the Rebbeinu Shlom there, 40 days and 40 nights. That was 120 days. That was only a year. And Mamish in Olam Sol Yom, when he came down to give the Torah to Bnei Yisrael, yeah, Trachten Lennon, he is absent-minded there. He's thinking at Olam Sol Yom. He didn't even realize that Bnei Yisrael were there. He didn't even realize that. So he had to have a master there. When he spoke over to B'nai Yisrael, the master is just a melitza. For what? A melitza, adava hamapsik, adava hachaytik, between him and the Olam Yisrael Yonim, between him and the Rebbeinu Shalom. That he shouldn't be so dovish with the Rebbeinu Shalom. So when he had this marshal of a master, then he was able to realize, oh, he has an audience, and he would say over the dinim. And then as soon as he finished saying over the dinim, then he would remove the master, means that he would no longer have this chatzitza between himself and the Olam Yisrael Yonim, and he went back into his home world of thought, and he had no hasoga of what's going on in this world. That's how the Rabbag interprets. He claims that it's not to be taken literally. There never was a real master. The other Rishonim seem to learn that there was a master. They learned it's a Pshuta, there was a real master. Others have other interpretations of what the master is supposed to represent. The Tzfatzemes and the Kotzke Rebbe, if you look in the Torah Shleimah, he quotes Chassidish Yisvarim, he'll quote this. It's not in the Tzatzemes and Homish. It's close to other Talmidim. The Tzatzemes and the Kotzke Rebbe said Pshat and the Master, a different Kavana behind it. That Moshe Rabbeinu was such an unusual tzaddik, he put on a mask, his representative of the idea that he was master his tzitzis and his gadlus. So when he spoke to B'nai Yisrael, he spoke as a plain human being. So they speak about great tzaddikim, so they're giving instructions to Chassidish Rebbe. All those who turn out to be Chassidish Rebbe, Chassidish Rebbe, with the Ger Rebbe, they're saying those who become big tzaddikim, when they speak to the Hamaynam, they shouldn't let them recognize how great they are. They should be master their godless when speaking in public. In the name of Rebbe Kivega, others quote the Torah Shlomo quote. Name of Rebbe Kivega, others give a different interpretation. That the master is representative of an opposite, a completely different idea. Moshe Rabbeinu was such an honor. So how could he be the melech? How could he? He was the leader of the Bnei Yisrael. So whenever he was functioning as the manig of Bnei Yisrael, he had to put on an act different from his true personality. It was a pseudo personality. That was the master. Master means one is putting on an act, making believe as if he's someone else. So whatever Moshe Rabbeinu was leading the Jewish people, that was all an act. And then when he stopped, when he wasn't functioning in the capacity of a manik, then he went back to his own introverted self, that he was such an honor that he shied away from all this kind of stuff. So Rabbi Kivega is quoted as saying what the master is representative of. But as we discuss, the Kibbutz and ourselves, we don't discuss whether the Master was real or it's just a belief. The Rambag is the one who says, Rambag and a few others, the Torah Shlomo quotes, the others are not that names that we never heard of.
We don't look in the Ralbag is a famous commentary. This week is one of the Dalat Parshiyos. Which one of the Dalat Parshiyos is it? Parshas Parah. Ramban, the beginning of Parshas Chukah, points out the strange lashon ha'pasuk. Zos Chukah, v'daber Hashem Moshe b'lahar ha'maim, zos Chukah ha'tera sh'tziva Hashem, v'daber b'nei Yisrael. It should say the reverse of Ramban. It should say, v'daber b'nei Yisrael, zos Chukah ha'tera sh'tziva Hashem. You don't say, this is the law, tell b'nei Yisrael. Say, tell b'nei Yisrael, this is the law. It's out of order. So the Ramban asked that question, beginning of Parshas Chukah. The Rav of Soloveitchik says, perhaps one can understand the pshat in the pasuk based on the Tosef in Sanhedrin. It says that you cannot do a Sreifa Sparaduma unless under the supervision of the Bez Nagol. Beginning of Sanhedrin, the Tosef in this of all the things that you require a Bez Nagol for. What's the source for that you need a Bez Nagol? The Rav of suggests that perhaps it's this pasuk. Zayis Chukas HaTayre, Moshe Rabbeinu tells, Adab Hashem and Moshe Malaharim, Zayis Chukas HaTayre, this is the din. The first din is, Daber B'nai Yisrael, that you have to tell B'nai Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu is the Mokha Mayin Aleph Toi. Moshe Rabbeinu had the status of a Bez Din HaGadol. What exactly is the purpose of the Paraduma? If a person is a Tomei Mei, so it's not sufficient if he just goes to the mikveh. At the first half, Hazor, Shlishi, Shvi, from the Paraduma water, and then he's able to go to the mikveh. It doesn't say that in the Chumash, but it's understood like that. That you have to have Hazor, Shlishi, Shvi, but that's not all. Then you have to go to the mikveh after the Hazor of Shvi. Tosafot points out in the first Perek in Megillah that there are three tefillos, yeah? Merely the Lekha Hazor relates to the can't have the Hazor, Shlishi, without first having a tefila. The Tommy has to be tevil in the mikveh to be able, Roy, to be in the Kabbal, the Hazor, Shlishi. Then he has to be tevil in the mikvah on the Yom HaShvi to be mekabel the Hazorat HaShvi. Like Hazor the Light Tzili. Whenever you mazah on the person's body, he has to be tevil in the mikvah first. To be right to be mekabel the Hazor. And then after Acharei Kichlos HaKol, after he's been mekabel the Hazor Shlishi Shvi, then he's erished right to be tevil in the mikvah. And then the tzil of the mikvah glimpses it. Then he becomes tough. And then he's a full yom. And then he has to wait till the, like anybody else who goes to the mikvah, he has to wait till the end of the day in order to shake off. A full yom is toha legabi chulin and legabi mighty shame, but it's tami legabi truma legabi kosh. That's the din of Hazor Shlishi Shvi. Gemara darshan from the pasuk b'halal cheres. The cheres harehu kecholo. There's a machlok is Rashi and Tosfos in the first parak in Sochim, and a machlok is the Rambam and the Raivis, and the Shachim Yevadeh quotes it. What exactly does this refer to? Cherev Harei Kecholot. Does it only refer to Kli Mateches? That if the maid comes in contact with a cherev, it also becomes Avi Avoy Tatumah? Or if the maid touch, I touch a maid, I become an Avatumah? But then if I touch a cherev, Kli Mateches, it also becomes an Avatumah? Instead of going down a Madrega, it goes on the same Madrega? Is it limited dafke to Kli Mateches? That's how the Raivin holds, and the Rambam says, no, it applies to all Kelim. The God is, applies to all Kelim except for Kli Cheres. Everything except for Cheres. Machlokes is Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi always writes Kli Mateches. Tosfos in the first Cheres and Shochim, the Yerkin in the first Cheres. And the Kli Mateches in the Gan of Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. Tosfos holds like the Rambam, that it applies to all Kelim with the exception of Kli Cheres. So the Rashash in the middle of Chagigah has an original Kiddush that the later Gedolim discussed whether he's right or he's wrong. He comes up with an Ein Kol. The Gemara in Nida comments regarding a Boyal Nida. It says one is Boyal Nida, so he needs for Allah. That the same tumah that she has falls on him. So the Gemara says, and what if she's a Nida on the sixth day? So she only has to wait another day and then she'll go to Mikveh. And then this man has boiled her on the sixth day. Does he only tell me for a day and a half? And the same time she goes to Mikveh, he goes to Mikveh? The Gemara says, no, you don't take that pasuk literally, Tehini Dosa Olav. What it means is that just like she has a tumah for 7 days, he has a tumah for 7 days. So even though she can go to Mikveh tomorrow night, the boil Nida, even though he's boiled her on the sixth day, is now telling me for 7 full days, and he has to go to Mikveh the end of the seventh day. So the Rashash says, yeah, that's because the Gemara added the Rashi to demonstrate that that's so. That you shouldn't say, Yocho Yala Laraglo. He should pick up where she's holding. He should have exactly the same status. But over here, by Cherev Harev Kecholo, the exact same level of Tumah that the original thing is on, that was transmitted to the Cherev.
So let's say the first kli, let's say I have a person, I touched the mace, and I already had hazra shlishi, and today is the fifth day. I have to have hazra shlishi, I'll go to the mikveh. I'm holding on the fifth day. So Rav Shach says that if I'll touch a chera, the tumatechet, or according to the Rambam in the Tosafot, my brother, so they will only become tamei to the same level that I'm tamei, a tumas yom hachamishi. And it'll only need hazra shvi in another 2 days. It won't need a hazra shlishi. It has the exact same level tumah that I have. So others disagree, they hold that he's wrong. And others insist, no, that he's right. It's a big machlek. Interesting shayla, that's for sure. The Rav Shach is saying that there's a difference, what he says in effect is that there's a difference between a nida and a tamei meis. That by nida, she has the same high level of tumah throughout all the 7 days. And then when it comes to 7 days, she goes to mikveh, then it disappears. The whole tumah disappears. Mashenei came to May Mason, the tumah keeps on going lower and lower and lower every day. After 1 day goes by, 2 days go by, 3 days, after 3 days you can get the first hazor. Then the fourth day, the fifth day, the sixth day, the seventh day, second hazor. So since the tumah keeps on going down day by day and hazor by hazor, so whatever level of tumah you're on, that's all you can transmit to the cheir v'arekachol, to the other thing. It's not that, yeah, the whole time the guy's on the same level of tumah, just thinks hazor shlishi shvi, and then he goes to the mikveh, and then he goes from highest level of tumah to zero. No, Ashash understands that he keeps on going down lower and lower every day. When he has the hazor rishayin, hazor shvi, everything goes down a little bit. A lot of dinim of tumah makes. Lichair is only mekabel tumah mitoichai, not midaba. If it's a kli mukav samit pasul, if it's closed, it does not mekabel tumah at all. If it's lichair, many, many dinim. The more has a machlokes whether meisa yakom ametamei ba'oro. So the pasuk starts off odim ki omis goel atim kli modim. Machlokes satanai whether umis oilam at kli modim or not. Meisa yakom the more it says ametamei b'mad v'mas. So the only machlokes is are they ametamei ba'oro. How do we pass in Allah Almighty? It says, "Vayta machlekes tesis in the Rambam." Tesis says that we ought to pass in the Meisi Yachum Amitani ba'oil. The Rata Machlekes says that you have to be choishes for shishita tesis. In the Rambam and Rav Harishayim pass in the Meisi Yachum, are not Amitani ba'oil. The Rambam and the Rav Harishayim pass in the Meisi Yachum are not Amitani ba'oil. So should have followed logically the Kohanim are permitted to enter into the oil of Meisi Yachum. Nonetheless, the Shulchan Aruch says that they're not permitted to. Chaber and the Ramo are both saying at the end of your day that a Kohen has to be nizer not to enter into the oil hameis, even of meisei akum. That's the question, why not? But if the meisei akum are not, if the Rav Rishon called meisei akum not in time of oil, so why is it? Well, some say because the Choshe is the sheep of Sateis, who fastens that they are in time of oil. And there's a tshuva in the Tashbeis, he says, no, that the Mechaber just meant to say you're not permitted to go on a non-Jewish cemetery because there are always some Mishumadim who are buried there in a non-Jewish cemetery who are Jewish. That's what he meant to say, but if it's taka, a non-Jew in a building, the Mechaber and the Ramo would never say that it's prohibited for the Kohen to enter into the building. They didn't mean that. Nochem Mizor, Shalot HaTamei Beis HaTzvorosh, or Kivrei Yachim, because there's always a Meshumah that was buried there, but never said a Goy. It's usually assumed that it's neither that nor that. But that's not the Pshat. That even if you're there, Meis Yachim are not Metamei, but Ohel, even though there's no Tumah, but the Kohen is still prohibited to enter into the oil of a Meisak, even though there's no Tumah, that's separate Isa. Separate Isa, like some Gedolim wanted to say the beer in the Shita Tarekeach, the Mogen Avraham, the Shin Mem Gimel, and Hilchot Chinuch Tanin, in the middle of Hilchot Shabbat, quotes the Shach and Yeredei, at the end of Yeredei, it quotes the name of the Rekeach. That if a woman is married to a Kohen, and she's pregnant with a baby, she doesn't know whether the baby's going to be a boy or a girl, is she permitted to go to a cemetery or not? Because maybe it's going to be a boy, and she's Matamei the Kohen, the Tumas Mei. So the Rakeach says that it's permissible Mitam Spekseik. Maybe it's going to be a girl, maybe it's going to be a boy, maybe it'll turn out that it'll be a baby. That's why. So let's say you had a sonogram, and you know that it's a boy. So the only stuff that you have is it may turn out to be a baby. It's only a mute. That's not enough to be matter. According to the Rekech itself. And others ask on the Magen Avraham, ask the Kasha on the Shach, of course, this Rekech, what in the world is he talking about? The Mishnah says in Perek Behem HaMkasho, in the fourth Perek in Masechet Tumen, that Tahara Blua is not Mekabel Tumen. Tahara Blua means that you have a baby who wasn't born yet, so he's inside the mother's body. So if the mother went to a cemetery and the mother became Tomei, And then she goes out of the cemetery, then the baby is born, so the Gemara says the baby was never Makala Tumah. What do I care if the mother is pregnant with a baby boy, for sure, and that baby boy is a Kayin, and she goes to a cemetery, so what? The myth is that a lot of women have, that pregnant women don't go to cemetery. So the Achrayim say that the whole thing is based on a mistake. So they didn't understand what the Rekech was talking about. The Rekech says that even an Ashes Kayin who bears is permitted to go to a cemetery. If a woman's looking for a terrace, why she doesn't want to go to a cemetery? Does that say? Let us say in a minute that she doesn't want to go. But if the woman wants to go to the cemetery, then they say there is no such minute. They say the whole thing is based on a mistake. So the Rekech, even Ashes Kayin who bears is permitted to go to the cemetery. So that's what they discussed. Why did the Rekech say that the reason why she's permitted to go is because of this fake state? What are you talking about? The baby inside, the fetus inside is not Makabal Tumah. So how is Lewis not Makabal Tumah? So how is there a violation of Matami Zayin the Kain? So several Gedolim said, Rav Chaim Eizer and his brother-in-law, Rav Chanan Asner, married to two sisters, they said the same view in the Rekeah, that you see that he's of the opinion that it's prohibited for a Kain to come in contact, to come in Oil HaMeis, even if the Oil HaMeis is not causing Tumah to him. So the same is regarding Meisei Yachim. Even though the Meisei Yachim, even if one would follow the Rambam's opinion, Meisei Yachim are not Matam Boil, but still, that's what the Chavon and Amar say. The Kohen have to be careful not to come into a Oil HaMeis with Meisei Yachim. It's a separate issue. Not to come in contact with Meis, even in a nation that he's not Matam.
Can you call it
that since it's not the Talmud Boris, it's not considered coming in contact. Yes. Sure, there's a Mokum Lechal. Sure. Zoyis HaTorah Adam Ki Yomiz Bi Oiho. More comments on this process. Ein HaTorah Miskayemis El Abimi Shemeimis Atmo Oleho. If a person sits in front of the television, eats the popcorn and the Cracker Jacks, and he enjoys a very comfortable life, and everything is very easy, and he has no idea of Amol Shel Torah. I mean, he's watching Mishnayos on the television. He's not watching the funny. He just relaxes, and the Rebbe pours everything down his throat, and Eretz Yisrael, they have Mishnayos on the television, no? He just relaxes as he learns. So the Gemara says, that's wonderful, but it won't be Miskayemes. Ain't I telling Miskayemes, Ela Demish, and Meimis, Atzmoy Oleho. Person has to have idea of Amol Shel Torah. So, on Sunday morning, I don't think I'll be able to say Shia. A lot of celebrations going on. Monday morning, what time is Dr. Lamb saying Shia? Anybody remember? 10:30. 10:30. So, Bubi Neder, I'll try to say Shia at 9:15. I'll cut Shia. Say Shia at 9:15, Bubi Neder said 10:30. But Sunday morning, I think I won't be able to. Yeah, I'm